visit with you about what's going on in Washington. Clearly, that's really important to us. The success of our industry hinges on, you know, our ability to make sure that we keep the RFS intact. But before we do that, sort of along the lines of you know, what we've already seen this morning, I want to take a moment to thank people in the audience, to thank many ACE members for the steps you've taken to advance and promote the industry. Because despite the kind words, and I know they were sincere, but despite the kind words from my fantastic staff and our fantastic president, the truth is, the most important people in the industry aren't the lobbyists like me who do work for you and are happy to do work for you on a daily basis. The most important people in the industry are the people like you sitting in this room. And I want to recognize several of you for the work you do. It's people like Ron Alderson with Dakota Ethanol, he's really passionate about, damn it, the fact that corn ethanol is doing more to reduce greenhouse gas emissions than what it gets credit for. And that ought to change. And later this morning, he'll share with you some information about work he's doing, really pioneering work I think he's doing to try and make that happen. It's people like Delaine Johnson with Quad County Corn Processors, who you'll also hear from this morning, who along with his company, his board, his staff, has developed a technology breakthrough to convert corn kernel fiber into cellulosic ethanol. Really exciting development. And when it comes to the RFS and the fact that we need to win the battle with respect to the RFS in Washington, I think of a lot of ACE members who have stepped up to the plate, who have gone above and beyond the call of duty when it comes to advocacy. And the first company that comes to mind is Chippewa Valley Ethanol Company. Now, CVEC has sent more members to the ACE fly-ins over the years than any other plant in the country. They've really made a positive difference. At the other end of the country, Pinal Energy. It's tough to run an ethanol plant in Arizona. It's tough to deal with the Arizona congressional delegation. But they do it, and they're proactive, and they reach out, and they educate their delegation about the benefits of the RFS. I think about here in Iowa, there's so many examples. Lincoln Way Energy and Bill Couser. As Lacey says often, that Bill's the best utility player we may have in this industry. He's as comfortable talking to members of Congress about ethanol in the halls of Washington, D.C., as he is back home developing rations for feeding cattle. As many of you know, he hosts tours for people from around the globe at his feedlot, at his farm, and at the nearby Lincoln Way Energy ethanol plant. It's really important work that he and others are doing. I think of other ACE members who stand out for being proactive with the media or for educating and engaging the public. Several of you stand out with respect to that. ACE Ethanol, Adkins Energy has done a lot in this area. Big River Resources is very active when dealing with the media. Kappa, Mid-Missouri Energy, you've all engaged the media, which has been helpful. Of course, I think of Dave Sovereign and the outstanding leaders at Golden Grain Energy and Homeland Energy Solutions and Absolute and Big River and Iowa Corn. They developed this biofuels mobile education center, this trailer that travels all around the country educating people in a fun, interactive way about the benefits of ethanol. And I had a lot of fun last night talking with Gene and Kathy Griffith of Patriot Renewable Fuels and their team. They've taken that dive, they've taken that brave dive into the world of social media, reluctant perhaps at first, but very successfully they've done it, and they've helped raise the profile of ethanol through their five-year anniversary celebration just a week ago. They generated a lot of positive press for this industry. It was really fantastic. It's not just what you do with the media, what you do in Congress, the technology breakthroughs that you're developing. A lot of ACE member plants aren't sitting around waiting for oil companies to go buy up distressed ethanol plants and take a larger share of our market. I think of Granite Falls Energy, of ACE, of Guardian Energy, who have made strategic investments of their own to go purchase plants, ensure that ownership and profits stay local, as Ron said, that's a really important characteristic of who ACE is, the local ownership. It's not just ethanol plants. The state and national corn growers are among our best friends, step up to the plate and help us every time we ask. Ron Fagan, who's not here today, doesn't ever ask for credit or recognition, but he deserves a lot. I think of Owen Jones, a rancher from northeast South Dakota who was the driving force behind the first blender pump in the state, and the guy who said, "Brian, you guys better start holding some fly-ins in Washington so we get the grassroots out there. Really appreciate everything you've done." So I've taken the risk at singling some people out and not others, and I know I might get in trouble for that, but the truth is everyone in this room is doing something to promote and defend this industry and doing something to disrupt the profitable status quo of the oil companies. And that's what's really important. You know, the oil companies seem to have forgotten that the RFS wasn't enacted to make life comfortable for them. It was enacted to dramatically improve the way we produce and use transportation fuel. And it's done that, and it's working. And I'm confident we're going to win the RFS battle in Congress this year, not because we're going to spend more cash than them. We can't even match them dollar for dollar. But the truth is we don't have to. We just have to continue being smarter, being wiser, and as I like to say, punching above our weight. That's how we enacted the RFS in the first place, based on the authenticity and the advocacy of people like you in this room. And that's how we're going to keep it intact in Congress. You consider the fact that repeal of the renewable fuel standard is already off the table. And frankly, it never was on the table in the United States Senate. Now opponents of the RFS in the House are trying to do what they call reform of the RFS, but that's going to get very complicated for them. One, oil companies still want repeal, so they're not really engaging with members of Congress regarding how to reform it. Two, the ideas that have surfaced so far with respect to reform of the RFS are a lot easier to talk about than actually getting done in Congress. There are really three ideas right now. One, go in and just take away or reduce the cellulose levels. Well, EPA already has the authority to do that. It's authority they've exercised every single year. And Henry Waxman, a liberal Democrat from Hollywood, California, who is a key member of the committee in charge of figuring out reform, won't agree to that. The second idea that's popular with some is just to go in and reduce the corn ethanol level below 10% of gasoline demand, the so-called blend wall complaint. But John Shimkus, a Republican on the same committee in charge of reform from ethanol and corn country in Illinois, has said, "No, I won't agree to that. We can't do that. We shouldn't do that." The third idea that surfaced is to look at RIN prices and to try to figure out some way to adjust the RFS based on what price level RINs are. That's been popular in the press, but that gets complicated too, because as you know, there are certain oil companies that do more business on the retail side than they do on the refining side. And frankly, they're whispering in the ear of certain members of Congress that if you're going to do something to the RFS, please don't mess with RINs, because we're selling them for a nice price to some of our brothers and sisters in the oil industry. Now, I'm not here to say we're entirely safe. We have to be on guard, but it's a lot more complicated to do what they want to do. And make no mistake, the RFS is going to change. But it's going to change on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue at EPA, not in Congress. You know, the oil lobby, as you know, recently submitted a waiver asking EPA to waive the RFS in 2014 by more than 3 billion gallons. There's a lot of precedent for how that takes place, and the law, the threshold question that the oil companies need to answer to EPA or prove to EPA is that the RFS is causing severe harm to the economy. Well, what's the precedent on that? In 2008, Governor Perry of Texas said we need to get rid of the RFS, food and feed prices are too high. After the analysis was done, it was high-priced oil that was the culprit, not the renewable fuel standard, which actually brought down the price of energy. Just last year, several states sought a waiver of the RFS because corn prices were so high. Well, that was an easy one. EPA came back and said there is harm to the economy, and it's a result of the drought, not the RFS. This time, the oil companies are barking about RIN prices, and I welcome the opportunity for EPA to look into what oil companies and speculators are doing with respect to RINs, and so should you. And with continued unrest in the Middle East, and today, who knows what might be announced with respect to Syria, does anyone really think oil prices are going to fall? They have a tough case to make. I'm confident we'll win the RFS waiver battle too. But there are other things we have to be engaged with respect to EPA. They are going to adjust the 2014 RFS. They came out and said it. They're going to look at reducing both the advanced and the total for the very first time. We have to be engaged and make sure that's a thoughtful decision that doesn't harm the investments that you've made in this room. The future of flexible fuel vehicle credits and whether or not the automakers continue to roll those off the assembly lines, that decision largely lies in the hands of EPA. So we've got to be engaged. And an opportunity I think we're all excited about to harness the octane value of ethanol in the future and in future engines. Those decisions really hinge on our ability to work with the automakers and to engage EPA on that. So I just want to say thank you for the actions that you've taken because you're making a positive difference. Again, RFS repeal is off the table. If I can be so bold as to say it, I think RFS reform is highly unlikely in Congress. And the Federal Trade Commission is now looking into anti-competitive practices on the part of oil companies and preventing E15 from being sold. So the oil companies get to play a little defense for a while, which is okay. The truth is, change doesn't come from Washington. Change comes to Washington because of people like you. You know, too often, folks in my shoes are expected to stand up here and say something that educates or inspires you, but it's undeniable. It's what you do that inspires us. And we're just really honored that you're members of ACE and that you're here to join us today. You're the heart and soul of the industry. As long as we continue to do what we do, I think we're going to be just fine.